Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. We're glad you've chosen us for your spiritual nourishment this morning. So thank you. So we have been talking about renewing the mind and self-control, right? Because in order to fulfill the will of God, there has to be mind renewal, the Bible teaches. And see, why do you have to renew your mind? Because when you become a believer, a Christian, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. See that? You have to learn the new things. Because really, you're the new creation. You're the new creation following Jesus, the creator of the new creation. You see that? And one day you're going to rule in heaven and on earth in the new creation. And it starts now. And when you understand that, you will begin to live your life to help people in to the new creation. Because when you're in the new creation, you're going to spend eternity with Christ and all those who know Him and have been saved. Am I making sense? But if you don't know Christ and you haven't, it's going to be eternal darkness forever. Amen? Does that make sense? So we're a new creation. And this is what we've got to grow and understand. So now it takes mind renewal. It talks about in Romans 8, 6, for the carnal mind brings death. The word death means separation from God. But the spiritual mind brings life and peace. So the carnal mind is being influenced by culture. See that? The state of your mind is what it's being influenced by. If it's influenced by culture, it's carnal minded. And it brings death, separation from God. But spiritually, if you're spiritually minded, it brings life, which is Zoe life, the God kind of life and peace. You see that? But we have to grow and mature in being spiritually minded. And that's what going to church is all about. That's what studying your Bible is all about. That's what staying in the body of Christ is all about. And we're trying to help people understand. Now get a hold of this. Sin is not why you spend eternity in hell. You spend eternity in hell because of unbelief. And God didn't create hell for people. He created it for the fallen angels, right? That's it. Satan and the fallen angels. But now look, when you don't believe, you didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God and the one who came to redeem you, then you missed out on God's plan of salvation for your life. He wants you to be in the new creation. And He wants you to walk in the new creation. And He did everything He can and could to reach you by putting His Son on that cross. He took on all sin, every one of our sin, past, present, future, on the cross. That's important to understand that. Now look, think about this. He says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God, which is your reasonable service. Prove it. The people at work, if you say you're a Christian, prove it. That's what they're saying. Prove it to me. And they will try you and test you to see if you're the real deal. But now catch this. If you're the real deal and you've been growing and maturing, the one who is honoriest the most, the one who gets on your last one more than anyone, you can give them grace and mercy and love because you have renewed your mind. That's what you're supposed to give them, grace and mercy, because that's what God has given you. And that's why all your sins have been forgiven if you're born again. You see that? When you give grace and mercy to people, see, that's what it's all about. You're giving grace and mercy to others, and when you do that, they're like, okay. They're not used to being treated that way. They're being meaner and spit to you, but you're giving them grace and mercy. You see that? See, you won't do what you don't believe. And everything that the Bible teaches is by faith. If you believe it, you'll do it. Bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. How do you do that? When you're connected to God and you have a relationship with Him, He's teaching you how. He's teaching you how to love them. And when you love them and they're not loving you back, you still can love them and give them grace and mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. I'm not giving you what you deserve. Mercy, I'm not giving you what you do deserve. I'm giving you back better. And that's mercy. Am I making sense? And this is what we're to give people. And see, what that does is that shows people that we are believers. And we're Christians. We're being Christ-like. Does this make sense? And so this is the people you work with, the people you room with, your wife, your husband, your family. You see, when you love your wife the way God has created you, it'll be paradise. When a husband loves his wife and a wife loves her husband the way God says, and you're submitting to each other, that's because you understand and you've renewed your mind. You'll open the door for her every time. You'll help her in the kitchen. You'll help her in making the bed and carrying all. Am I making sense? You'll serve each other. And when you serve each other, that gets people's attention. But you see, when you don't and you don't understand, you'll be at odds all the time. Always at odds because you don't understand. That's why we have to grow in our understanding. And all you're getting, get what? Understanding. And when we understand, we start giving grace and mercy to people. And now people start giving us grace and mercy because that's what we're sowing. And life is good. I'm going to tell you, this is going to help you today. Now look at this. I've been reading John Wesley, and I really like what he says about sin. There's three tenses. The three tenses of turning away from the death of sin and toward the life of faith. Remember? Christianity is faith. Faith. Faith in God and Jesus. Amen? Saving faith. Listen. Saving faith renovates our relationship with time. There are three tenses of time: present, past, and future. All those tenses are transformed by saving faith. See that? Past, present, future. You're saved from your sin. You know what? When you have Jesus and you're growing in your faith, live sin and practice sin because it destroys you. You see that? He came, he was born. It says in Matthew, he came to save us from our sins. You'll sin and destroy your own life when you don't understand. You see that? You'll sin and now you're paying for your own sin. Jesus already paid for it. Past, present, future. It's done. You don't understand. When you understand, man, this Christian thing is awesome. I'm more excited today than I was when I got saved. Am I making sense? I'll tell you, when those 10 people got baptized, Donita had a hard time keeping me down last week. And these are young people? Dog. That's uncommon. Only God can do that. Listen, faith saves from the power of present sin, from the guilt of past sin, and from the fear of future punishment. Faith saves from all sin. See that? Jesus dealt with our sin on the cross. Now you have to get in faith and believe God and walk above sin. You see that? God sees you as being righteous. When you came to Christ, you gave your sin to God. He gave you his righteousness. It's a free gift. And that's what we're going to learn today. We're going to understand this. And this helps us have self-control. I used to think self-control was, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get in shape. That's not what self-control is. See, self-control is the fruit. It's the outcome of your connection with God. You see that? That's what self-control is. What's self-control look like? The way you used to have a temper and get upset at people, you no longer do that because you have self-control. When somebody pulls out in front of you and they flip you, they tell you you're number one, you're okay with being number one. And you give them grace and mercy. You don't get angry and shout back. Does this make sense? I know that really takes some work, but you don't have to do that. Amen? Does this make sense? That's self-control. Things that used to bother you at home, they don't bother you anymore. Doesn't matter how that toothpaste is going, being put down and put away. Doesn't matter if that shoe stays out there. Those things don't matter like they used to. Am I making sense? Because you're really finding out what's important in life. And when you start responding that way, you have self-control. You see that? And now you're the one begins to improve and be effective in doing God's will. You see that? We're talking about self-control today. And remember, it's not, well, I'm going to muster this up. No. I went to the gym yesterday. I didn't feel like it. I felt like it that much right there. You see that? There's nothing between those two. I didn't feel like it. I wanted to stay in bed and get me a nap. But the Holy Spirit, go on now, you need to get up and get moving. Take care of that body. Because see, our body has not been redeemed. You're a spiritual being living in a body. And you possess a soul. You have been redeemed and your soul has been redeemed. And now it's being renewed into the new creation. But your body hasn't been redeemed yet. That's why Jesus said, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Your bodies need to be redeemed yet. And then they will be transformed into the new image. It says in Philippians chapter 3. Because we're citizens of heaven, waiting, eagerly waiting on the return of Jesus. And that's what we're doing. We're renewing our minds now. We begin living that way now. We're bringing heaven to earth. Amen? So, self-control. So self-control is not something you muster up and try to work up. Self-control is an outcome of who you're connected with. It's fruit, okay? None of these other fruit, the kindness, the goodness, the long-suffering, the faithfulness, the gentleness, would work in your life or show up in your life without self-control. See, kindness, listen to me, kindness, God's kindness is not you being kind to somebody who's being kind to you. God's kindness is you being kind to somebody who doesn't deserve it. It's only God's kindness when you're giving kindness to people who don't deserve it. You can't do that without having self-control. Did you catch that? Gentleness. You see that? Gentleness. You can't have true gentleness without being connected to God. Gentleness, listen to the meaning of this word gentleness. The ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. The ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. You can't have true gentleness without being connected to God. You see that? When you're connected to God, you can have gentleness. That's why Paul, in prison with guards breathing down his neck, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men everywhere that the Lord is at hand." You see that? He was undisturbed. People were coming to Christ in the jail because he was connected to his God. Am I making sense? And that's why when you're connected, you'll have self-control in any situation. Circumstances won't control you. Situations won't control you. Your money won't control you. You see that? Am I making sense? When you understand God's self-control, now you begin to reign in life. You see that? Your emotions won't control you. Come on now. Now watch this. Your feelings won't control you. See, your feelings and your emotions, they're to never control you. Your feelings and emotions, God has given them to you as indicators. They're indicators, not dictators. We need them, but we don't want our life to be governed by them. See, if I did what I felt like yesterday, I'd have stayed in bed, right? The idea is you let the Holy Spirit govern you and move you. You see this? And to be kind to people who aren't being kind to you, you won't do that unless something is governing you in a different way. Come on, am I making sense? Now, this is significant. Go with me to Romans 5:17. Something we have to understand is we have to be teachable. Ever get around people, they're not teachable? They don't want to listen. Our prisons are full of people who are not teachable. It says in James 1:21 that we are to receive the word of God with meekness, which is able to save our soul. The word meekness means teachable. I must decide to have a teaching mind. Listen, God can't teach us anything if we think we already know everything. I'm here to tell you, you don't know everything. And I don't know everything. If I'm going to grow and learn, that's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The word learn means to increase in knowledge and find direction. I'll find direction in life when I'm dependent on him, and I'll increase in knowledge. Listen, Isaiah 33:6 says this, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times." He's talking about right now. Every prophecy Isaiah has said has come to pass. And he said, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation." I'm going to tell you what, we are living in one of the most unstable times in history. There's more people languishing. Languishing means deteriorating. Their soul is deteriorating. The American Psychological Association says people coming in their offices are languishing. He's talking the majority, 80% of them. We're not to be languishing, we're to be flourishing. Amen? And God's people will flourish. They that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. The word flourish means produce fruit abundantly. When you know who you are, you're going to produce fruit abundantly and flourish in life. You're not going to languish. You see that? We should be echoing the good news, the gospel. Are you hearing me? And it takes self-control to do that. Now look at this. So God wants you to have a teachable mind. God wants you to have an honest mind. When you have an honest mind, listen, I can't get to where I'm going if I'm not honest about where I am now. The truth sets us free. If the truth sets us free, then deception keeps us in bondage. Deception will keep you in bondage. And the truth sets you free. Jesus said, "I am the truth." When you get connected to him, he sets you free. He says the truth will set you free. Free to be what? Free to be me. Now you discover who you really are. Your true identity. And see, when you discover your true identity, your esteem comes up. Your true self-esteem. Because Jesus tells you who you really are. And now you're esteemed. The word esteem means value. When you value yourself and you know who you truly are, you don't want to put drugs in your body. You don't want to go to bed with somebody that you're not married to. You don't want to lie and cheat people. You want to help and increase people and add value to people's life. Am I making sense? When you have, your esteem comes up, now you value yourself. You can only give away what you have. That's why Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you love yourself and you understand your esteem, it comes up. You value yourself too much to do what's not honorable in the sight of God. You have a true self-esteem. Well, you look excited. I am, because of what I see in our world. God is calling the church to rise up and be the church. Are you listening to me? Now watch this. You got to have an honest mind. You got to have a hopeful mind. Hopeful. Hope. Hope is a joyful anticipation of good. A joyful anticipation of good. See, when you don't have a hopeful mind, you can end up with a hopeless mind. You don't want to have a hopeless mind. Hopeless means an anticipation of God not fulfilling his promises. So when you're walking around like that and hopeless, it's because you've stopped believing. You've stopped believing. You see, when you stop believing, you think God is done in your life. God's not done. God's not done until he says it's done. It's never finished until he says it's finished. He said on the cross, it is finished. If he hasn't said it's finished for you, it's not finished. He who's begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. If God hasn't said it's finished, it's not finished. And there's never a reason to be hopeless. When you're hopeless, you're out of the will of God and you're doing your own thing. You're having a pity party and nobody wants to show up. Are you with me? You should have a hopeful mind. And God has just begun, because we're in the new creation. We're going to live forever. We have a joyful anticipation of good. We're looking for the blessed appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's what God is doing. He's doing in you now, the new creation, to do his will now. Full of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, look here. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. Look at the first part. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, sinned. When Adam sinned, we all fell under sin. You didn't end up in sin because you sinned. You ended up in sin because of one man, Adam. You see that? And now when you're born into this world, you're born in sin because of Adam. That's why you need to be born again. When you're born again, you're born out of that sin. And now you're born, now you're put in a position to line up with God psychologically, sociably, physically, and spiritually. That's what his word does. It calls all those areas of your life to line up with him. And the word lost means positioned, out of position and out of alignment. You're no longer lost. You're now in your new position, the new creation. And you will spend eternity with Jesus forever. Are you listening to me? And that's what that's talking about. We're growing in our new creation. Now, and I want to go to Colossians 1 real quick. I want to show you this. Now look. And he, talking about Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head of his church. He's building a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Now look. The church, who is the beginning. If you're born again, you are the new beginning. Did you get that? You are now the new beginning. The church. See? It says just prior to that, that he has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. For Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth. Thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And in him all things consist. The word consist means holds together. You're not going to fall apart in these last days. He's holding your life together because you're in the new creation. You see that? You're not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase when somebody says your job is over with, because God has a new one for you. Are you listening to me? You're not going to fall apart when someone walks away from your life because they weren't meant to be there anyways if they walked away from you. Are you listening to me? You'll be strong and stable and secure when you understand who you are. Am I making sense? This is what he's talking about. Who is the beginning? Watch. The firstborn from the dead. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Now when you're born again, you're the beginning. You're it. Don't you like that? Why do I get so excited? Because that's how it is. That's how it is. If you don't understand this, you'll be upset and miserable all the time. God doesn't want you upset and miserable all the time. He wants you to understand. Remember, in all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4:7. Get understanding. Remember last week we talked about when the devil comes, he comes to snatch away the word that's sown in your heart because you don't understand. Remember the word understanding? Tsunami. Listen to me. You listening? Tsunami. The word tsunami, listen to what it means. It means come together. To come together, S-U-N means, it's a compound word, S-U-N, come together. Name-y, are you listening? This is the word understanding. Name-y means wisdom from God to show what you haven't seen before. So you see, when you get understanding, you start to see things you didn't see before. It also means discernment. Tsunami, understanding, means discernment. The word discernment means to identify and recognize patterns and the wisdom to make an adjustment. To identify and recognize patterns and the wisdom to make an adjustment. So if I have tsunami, understanding, I can recognize patterns in my own life. I can see things in my own life that weren't producing, that I've gone through. If I'd only had me some discernment back then, I wouldn't have went through them. But now that I have a discernment, I don't have to go through them anymore. Are you catching this? And now I can get God's wisdom to do his will. You see that? Because I have understanding. And that's why understanding is so important. It's so important. It says this in Ephesians 5. It says, see to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He says, don't be unwise and foolish, but understand tsunami. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.